announcements.
Okay. Based on guidance from the California Department of Public Health and the California Governor's Stay-at-Home Executive Order N33-20, issued on March 19, 2020, to protect the health and well-being of all Californians and to establish consistency across the state to slow the spread of COVID-19, the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District Hearing Board will temporarily provide virtual access through a webinar and or call-in option. Interested parties have been noticed of this virtual hearing board meeting and have been provided instructions on how to participate. Members of the public are afforded an opportunity to speak on any agenda item before consideration of the item. Persons wishing to speak may do so remotely via Zoom or telephone. To provide public comment via desktop, laptop, or smartphone, click on the raise hand at the bottom of the screen, or if participating via dial-in or telephone, press star 9. This will signal to the host that you would like to provide a public comment, and you will be unmuted when it is your turn to speak. Persons may address the hearing board on any matter listed on the agenda via telephone or Zoom connection. Matters not listed on the agenda may be addressed during the public comment period of the agenda. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Good morning to everyone, and thank you everyone for being here. I will call to order the March 3rd, 2021 meeting of the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District Hearing Board. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Dr. Colome?
Present.
Mr. Dressler?
Here.
Mr. Peters? I think you're muted.
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Saperstein?
Here.
And Chair Cox?
Here. All right, so we have a quorum. Thank you. The first item of business is the approval of the minutes of the February 3rd, 2021 meeting. Is there any discussion on the minutes? And then can I get a motion to accept? We'll do a first and second and then open it up for any changes. So may I get a motion to accept the minutes?
Board members, Maria Nueva, your county council. I do have some edits I'd like to bring to the attention of the board, and that is for agenda item letter D, where we had request for continuance or addition of X agenda items. There was no need to approve it because there was no agenda item. So I would like the minutes to reflect that there were none. And as to the continuance were addressed under each public hearing. So I would like the minutes to reflect that.
Okay. Any other
I will move that we accept the minutes with the edits suggested by council.
I second that.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second. Are there any other comments related to the minutes from our last meeting?
Mr. Peters, you're muted. Muted.
Yes, sorry. I'm not sure I understood the council. Comment there. Could you mention once again your remark relating to item D?
Yes, I understand that routinely this item is put on the agenda for in anticipation of there being X agenda items, which are normally emergency issues that arise after the agenda has been posted and you haven't had the opportunity to agendize the issue. Under the Brown Act, the only way that they can be considered and acted upon is as an ex agenda item, which is an emergency. And there has to be certain findings for the issue to be an emergency. And brought on the day of the hearing when it was not on the agenda in order for you guys to be able to discuss it and or so much take action on it. And there were no emergency issues at the last meeting. In fact, I have requested that this no longer get placed on the agenda as a matter of course, because this is for you know, emergency issues. And if it's an emergency issue, you can't be anticipating it to put it on the agenda. So it would have to be brought under public comment or under another type of, it will probably be brought under public comment by the chair or the board members. And then the continuances, my understanding is that that's for public hearings that are going to be requesting a continuance, and they should be taken and were in fact taken when the public hearing cases matters were called last month. So that really shouldn't have, doesn't have a place under, a separate place under the agenda either.
It's nothing and, more than a placeholder in its current.
Correct. It shouldn't even be a placeholder, because in order to be able to act on an item that has not been agendized, that's not a real word, but that's what we call it, agendized, it has to be an emergency. And so you, it's not going to make the agenda. That's the whole purpose of that item.
Thank you.
And the board voted on it to accept the items, and that concerns me because there were no items to accept.
I believe we voted more on accepting the agenda.
Yes, but that's, well, but that was under an X agenda. So basically, it appears that you did have emergencies, and that you voted to approve them, and that was not the case.
So point in case is that would be item C on our agenda today.
Did she write, correct. That would be item C in the agenda today. And when we get to item C in the agenda today, the appropriate thing would be to say there are none and move on.
Thank you.
I also want to make one more correction, and that's under item G. G1, it appears that I am representing the district, where it says representatives for the district, and I am not. I will always be representing the board.
Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, I will mute myself, unless anybody has any questions.
All right, so I have a motion and a second to accept the minutes as amended. Any other questions or comments? All right, all in favor of approving the minutes as amended?
Chair Cox?
Yes.
Because we're remote, I would like to do roll call vote, if that's...
Oh, that's right. Yes, I'm sorry. Yep.
Dr. Colomé?
Yes.
Mr. Dressler?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
And Chair Cox?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, the next item is request for continuance or addition of X agenda items. Do we have any requests for continuance or X agenda items?
Chair Cox, we do not have any requests for continuance or X agenda items.
All right, thank you. Next item is announcements and staff reports. Are there any announcements or reports from the staff?
Good morning, Chair Cox and members of the hearing board. This is Amy. We do not have any updates or announcements from the staff.
All right, thank you very much. Next item is public comment. This is the time for members of the public to speak on items that are not on the agenda. Are there any requests to speak on items not on the agenda?
I don't see we have any public comments.
All right. The next item is public hearings. There are two cases today. Will the clerk please read the first case into the record?
Case F1, case number 2021-04-R, to consider a petition for regular variance from District's Rules 331, 325E, 359D, 2B, 206 Part 70 permit to operate 9109-R4, conditions 9C1 BV, 9C1 BVI, 9C2A, 9C2B, 9C2C, 9C2D, 9C2BII, 9C2 I'm sorry, 9C6BII, 9C6BIV, 9C9, 9C9, 9C14, and 9C15. Submitted on January 18, 2021 for emission controls, maintenance, monitoring, source testing requirements. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at Platform Houchin, located offshore on offshore lease tract OCS-0166, approximately 7 miles south from the city of Santa Barbara, California.
Thank you very much. Any witnesses, including district staff and members of the public for this case, shall now be sworn in. After taking the oath, you'll be asked to state your name and affiliation to the case. If you will be testifying today, please raise your right hand. Okay, I see four people.
Keith.
All right, I see five people. All right, so here is the oath. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And then I need you to state each person one by one. How about if I read out your last name so that way you don't have everyone trying to do it at once? So I'm going by what I see here on Zoom. Mr. Kett?
I do. Eric Kett with the district.
Okay. Mr. Winall?
I do. Keith Winall, Beacon West Energy Group, VP of Environmental Safety and Health.
Okay. Mr. Garnett?
I do. John Garnett, Beacon West Energy Group.
Okay. Did I see, Ms. Long, did you have your hand up?
I did have my hand up.
Okay.
This is Amy Long. I do, and I'm with the district.
All right. And Ms. McNally?
Yes, I do. This is Caitlin McNally with the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District.
All right. I do not see anyone from the public. I don't see any hands clicked on that. So all the witnesses have been sworn in. At this time, I'll ask the petitioner from Beacon West Energy Group, LLC, to make their case during your report. Be sure to include responses to all six findings required for approval of a variance, and I'll list them just as a reminder, including whether you are or will be in violation of Health and Safety Code 41701 or any district rules regulation. Two, non-compliance is due to conditions beyond reasonable control, and requiring compliance would result in unreasonable taking of property or closing a business. Three, closing or taking would be without corresponding benefit in reducing air pollution. Four, has consideration of curtailing operations in lieu of obtaining a variance been given. Five, during the period the variance is in effect, excess emissions will be reduced to the maximum extent possible. And six, during the period the variance is in effect, excess emissions can be quantified and or monitored. And again, please state your name for the record before you start your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Cox and hearing board members. This is Keith Winnell, VP of Environmental Health for Beacon West. I'm going to go through sort of a overview and then get into the actual findings. So platforms Hogan and Houchin are 3.1 and 3.5 miles offshore of Santa Barbara, owned and previously operated by Pacific Offshore Operators, Inc. I'll refer to them as PACOPS going forward. California State Lands Commission revoked the lease for the Platform Hogan to Shore Pipelines in 2019. Pacific operators unmanned the facilities in October of 2019, except for periodic site visits from October on. The platforms were otherwise completely abandoned and not maintained for over a year. Oil and gas production on both platforms has permanently ceased for both Hogan and Houchin. And the pipelines to shore are isolated and permanently out of service until abandonment. ConocoPhillips assumed responsibility in fall of 2020 and assigned operational oversight to Beacon West through contract. an initial site visit and subsequent daily manning by Beacon West occurred starting in October 28th of 2020. Prior to October 28th, Beacon West had very little and still has very little and limited information and understanding of the PAC ops operations on the facilities or the conditions of the facilities. So essentially what I'm saying there is that as of October 28th, the facilities were as found by Beacon West. Subsequent to the 28th, Beacon West inspections have determined that the conditions of the facilities, both Hogan and Halchin, are severely or significantly deteriorated. We have conducted BSEE, that's Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement, the federal agency regulating both Hogan and Halchin. We have performed level one inspections of both facilities, and we have confirmed and documented that there is significant infrastructure damage to stairways, decking, handrails, gratings, and structural supports associated with the facilities. And subsequently, repairs will need to be made of all of those items to ensure safe working conditions going forward. Additional to that, there are no sanitation systems on board. There are no potable water on board. The general alarm system is out of service and non-operational. The combustible gas detection system is non-operational on both platforms. Medical and emergency response is significantly hampered by these unsafe facility conditions. And as such, our operational and inspection and ongoing repair activities are severely curtailed because we have to severely limit the activity level on the platforms in order to manage the safety of those personnel. Additionally, cranes on both platforms, and there are two pedestal cranes and one jib crane on both Hogan and Halchin. All of the cranes are currently inoperable on both platforms. One crane on Halchin is permanently out of service and will have to be replaced. Let's see, where am I? So cranes on both platforms need to undergo significant repairs or be replaced. Currently, to support ongoing operations and monitoring that we're doing on the platforms, any materials that are transferred to the platform have to be hand delivered, meaning actually hand delivered from the back of the crew boat to somebody else who's standing on the platform. That's the only way to get materials across. So anything, that's bottles of water, that's a backpack, that's food, toilet paper, you name it, it has to be hand delivered across the boat to the platform. So that's the current conditions of the platform. Previously to this hearing, the district requested that Beacon West conduct a compliance assessment, essentially a review of the permit to operate for both platforms. That has been completed by Beacon West for both platforms. In regards to Halchin specifically, part of that assessment determined that there are, you know, in addition to the procedural requirements associated with non-operational status of equipment, there are five wellheads on platform Halchin that are building pressure and leaking through the closed valves of the wellheads. So let me describe that a little bit further. So the wells are all isolated through subsurface safety valves and surface safety valves. However, due to the pressure building in the wells, these valves are leaking to the surface and into the production system. Currently, the gas is being diverted to the flare stack for safety reasons. And again, the condition of the wells, the condition of the valves, the leaking condition that I've described is as found by Beacon West. We have not operated, we have not worked on the wells. This is as found completely by Beacon West. currently those emissions cannot be controlled by the flare, which would be the normal route, because there's no pilot gas. Gas has to be, there's no production gas to supply a pilot flare or sweep gas for the flare system. And there's no gas that can be sourced from the beach through the offshore pipelines, because the pipelines are shut down and are non-operational at this point. As best we can tell, there is no other equipment on the platform that currently requires vapor recovery. There are likely to be additional fugitive emission components that have leakage, but due to the conditions of the platform and our limitations on safety, we're unable to do a thorough investigation of leakage for fugitive component leaks. Now, all that said, the wells can be killed, which would eliminate the pressure buildup in the leaking wells. However, to do that, we have to pump water into the well string, and this cannot be done at this time due to the conditions I previously mentioned. The leaking well heads cannot be isolated because the valves don't seal. The pressure, if we tried to contain the pressure in the process systems, because we do not have a full and complete understanding of the mechanical integrity of these systems, that's considered an unsafe situation as well. The wellhead components must be inspected first before any repairs can be made. And that would be by an outside party. And as far as repairs to the wellheads, without cranes, operating on the platforms, we're unable to bring in any materials or supporting equipment to complete those repairs.
Hey Keith, maybe yeah. Can we show some slides? It might be a good time to show the visuals on Hauchin. Is that?
Let me get through a couple of things, John, okay. And I'll show the slides after that.
Okay.
So currently, we have Beacon West has conducted crane inspections for both platforms to date. Additional crane inspection and repairs will start March 4th, tentatively, on Hogan. And we hope to have at least one operational crane on Hogan by mid-March. Now, following the additional crane inspections and repairs, we'll then proceed to Hauchin. And as I mentioned, one crane on Hauchin is permanently out of service. Following crane repair, I mentioned previously the level one inspections that were conducted. So once we have an operable crane or cranes, the next step would be to address the high priority level one inspection items concerning life safety issues related to structural on the platforms. And that's referring to platform decking, platform stairways, handrails, grating, and so forth. These repairs will need to be made before we can increase the POB on the platforms, i.e. Platform operating personnel on the platforms, contractors, and so forth. We can't bring additional personnel on board until we have a safe platform for those personnel. We have scheduled additional wellhead inspection by an outside qualified third party. We hope to start those well inspections on Hogan mid-March, following the one crane repair tentatively in mid-March. In the meantime, Beacon West continues to perform our daily additional assessment work, inspection work, repairing of necessary life safety systems, and understanding the facilities. Again, these are not Beacon West facilities. It's the first time we've been on them. We do not have any historical knowledge or experience on the facilities. So there's a significant amount of work that has to be done to get to a point where we understand what we have in place and we can effectively and safely operate and support the repairs and ultimate P&A of the facilities. ConocoPhillips has assumed responsibility for the platforms. And again, I mentioned that they have contracted with Beacon West. ConocoPhillips has provided very clear instructions to Beacon West that the highest priority item for us is first and foremost is the safety of our personnel on the platform and anyone else that we bring out to the platform. So that's number one. And then number two is to secure the wellheads. ConocoPhillips is fully aware of the leakage of the five wells on Houchin, and they are supportive with our current steps moving forward to address the platform conditions and then address the wellhead conditions as part of that. And we're 100% confident that we will get to a point where facilities will be brought into full compliance in the near future. So let me share my screen here, and I will hopefully share some pictures with you. See if this works. I should be sharing some pictures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so let me do this. Okay, is that better? Can everybody see the pictures?
I can see the pictures.
Okay, great. So the first one I'm showing here is platform Houchin, and this is just a series of pictures. Again, I mentioned we conducted a level one, API level one inspection of the platform. And so these are the pictures from those, from that inspection. Now this is just a few pictures. There are 400 or more pictures documenting the condition of the platform. And this is just some that I chose to demonstrate the Houchin's condition. So the picture on the upper left, that is a picture of the flare boom on Houchin. And notice there's a big hole in the flare boom piping for that flare. So even if we had an operable flare, we wouldn't be able to operate it because we'd be concerned about backfiring into the flare system. The pilot is above, the pilot and flare tip would be up above that. So that's a very serious condition. You can see there's a number of pictures showing significant corrosion of piping and process vessels, stairways, grating. There's a picture on the far left, decking that's rotted through. In this particular picture, you can't see actually the ocean, but in many of them you can. So very significant decking corrosion. Handrails and decking are in very bad condition. Wellheads are also in very bad condition. You can see we've got kind of caution tape across this one picture in the middle. Picture there to the right of that, structural supports that have completely corroded through. Picture on the bottom far right is of the well bay. You can see the condition of the decking. It's all dilapidated and bent and showing through. Anyway, the conditions of the platform are very severe. And so we need to take a very, very slow, a very structured, stepwise process to bring folks on board to make any of these repairs. Most of this work has to be repaired first. Not so much the process piping, but certainly things like stairways, handrails, decking, and grating has to be completed before we start bringing additional personnel on board. And none of that work can be done without cranes. In order to perform any of this repair work, we have to have cranes to get materials, welding machines, personnel, and so forth on board the platform. The next one is the Hogan. Yep. That. Oh, sorry. There we go. Here's Hogan. Similar pictures. You can see it's in a similar condition. Upper left picture, you've got serious structural and grating issues. There's another picture of grating. This particular grating is right above the water, right as you enter the platform. You swing onto the platform at a lower platform deck, and this is where you have to kind of shimmy around to get to the next, to get to the stairway. So significant structural support damage, again, grating, decking with holes clear through to the ocean, handrails. This picture on the bottom left is underneath the well bay on Hogan. And you can see the support structures are completely corroded away. Other support structures are bent. So there's significant concern for personnel or personnel on the platforms. Any questions kind of regarding the condition of Hogan and Houchin before I move on? I'll take that as a no. So I'll stop sharing those pictures. Get back to my screen here. Okay. Let's see. All right, with that, I'll go into these explicit findings for the petition for Houchin variance. John, you want to cover item one?
Yeah, I'd like to affirm that we are in violation of the rules cited by Ms. Saldana. And if we require any further fleshing out of that, I'm happy to provide that information.
Item number two is non-compliance due to conditions beyond applicant's reasonable control. My discussion previously describing the conditions, platform and well conditions, I believe addresses item number two. Item number three, such taking without corresponding benefit and reducing the pollution. Platform Hogan and Houchin are permanently shut down pending well and platform abandonment. I don't think there's much more that can be said about that. Item four, applicant considered curtailing operations. Operations are curtailed. The platforms are going into a well and platform abandonment program as of today, as of October, actually. Item number five, applicant will reduce emissions to the maximum extent possible. Currently for Houchin, we cannot reduce those emissions because there's no way to control them at this point. However, we are confident that once we have cranes and once conditions are made safe on the platform, we will effectively and efficiently move towards reducing those emissions to safe and controlled levels. John, you want to cover item six, monitor and report?
Yes, we are prepared to monitor and report all excess emissions associated with this variance.
Okay. With that, I will move to the Hogan variance petition.
Well, I think I don't think they're. You need to close out Houchin, right, guys?
Yes, we have to do each variance individually.
Gotcha. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. So, at this time, I'll ask the staff to respond. And again, please state your name for the record.
Good morning, Chair Cox and members of the hearing board. This is Amy Long. I would like to, for your consideration, to revise the petition or the request for coverage for Rule 331 to only include sections D through I. Sections A through C are not applicable. And that was all I had.
Because this is a case request for regular variance, all six findings must be made and stated for the record in order for the variance to be approved. Do any of the hearing board members have any questions about the findings as outlined by the petitioner?
I have a question for counsel. And my question is, obviously, the finding that this is beyond the reasonable control, these conditions were beyond the reasonable control of the applicant can be made, and from my perspective. However, these conditions were caused by a previous operator that definitely could have taken actions to have prevented them. And I want to make sure with counsel that the lack of diligence by the previous operator does not affect our ability to make the finding that these conditions are out of reasonable control for the current operator.
Correct. You can make that. Yeah, the petition's brought by Beacon. They're the current owners. They had no control over what the previous owner did or did not do. So I think you can make that finding. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Peters, did I see you had a question too?
I guess sarcastically, I was going to say the petitioner left out the good news. Is there any? Anyway, I sat in on one of the emergency petition interim variances, I guess, that we addressed last month. So some familiarity. Apparently, nothing has improved. Ooh, this looks like a total disaster here, beyond the scope of anything else I've ever considered here. But a regular variance, huh? We'll be looking at this again on what kind of a timetable? You refresh my memory, Lorena, what a regular variance here is. Going to cover how long a period of time?
Regular variances go for Miss Long. I don't have the book right in front of me. I can find it.
On the order of 90 days, I guess. Anyway,
it's 1 year from the date of petition, which was in early January of this year. So,
all right. Thank you for refreshing my memory. All right, I have no further comments right now.
All right, thank you. Any other questions or comments from the hearing board members?
I have one more question for staff. Is there an ongoing, and you can shut me down and say it's not an appropriate question at this time, but is there an ongoing enforcement action against Pacific Offshore Operators, Inc. regarding their actions that resulted in these violations?
Good morning, Mr. Dressler. This is Amy Long. The district is pursuing all avenues for enforcement action for the previous operator.
Thank you.
If I could weigh in on that, please. It appears that Beacon West has been assigned the outstanding notices of violation issued to PACOPS. So apparently ConocoPhillips ultimately is on the hook for settling the PACOPS NOVs that were outstanding. Just a point of clarification there.
We haven't, this is Caitlin McNally with the district. We haven't made that determination yet. So that's one of the avenues that we are exploring, but we're still, there's many options.
Does the company PACOPS still exist?
We are working with district council on that. It's not an easy answer. And okay. I'm not sure if it's fitting for this hearing.
Okay. Thank you.
Does the decision on the variance request affect that investigation or those activities in any way?
Not as far as I am aware. It should not affect the past issues that we've dealt with.
Is there any information at this stage what the volume of emissions are from the leaks? And I'm assuming because the equipment is non-operational, the answer is likely to be no.
I can handle that. The only excess emissions occurring right now are on Platform Houchin and the aforementioned venting of the internal wellhead leaks through the flare stack. And we are able to meter those venting emissions. And they appear to be variable from month to month. And we have updates for January of 2021. The extrapolated annual emissions are about 20 tons per year ROC. That increased in February, where the extrapolated emissions would be about 50 tons per year ROC. We're prepared to report these excess emissions. We don't have any control over the variability of the venting. And again, we will be resolving these leaks, but we are able to accurately track the venting quantities, and those are the amounts.
John or Keith, do you have any sense of the long-term schedule? When are the quick repairs needed so that you can actually do some work on the platform? And then what's the sort of long-term schedule to make the platform cease to exist?
The second part of your question is very difficult to answer, because removal of the platforms is 10 or 15 years down the road. As far as plug and abandonment of the wells, there are 72 wells between Hogan and Houchen that have to be plugged and abandoned. That's probably a 3 to 4 year process per platform. We cannot start, ConocoPhillips cannot start that work until after the platform is made safe to bring those that type of equipment and the personnel needed on board to do that. So the level one work I described previously, all of that work or a good portion of that work needs to be done before any of that work can happen. So it's, as I mentioned, it's a very much a stepwise process. First step is to get the cranes. We believe we can have cranes operable on Hogan. That platform is in somewhat better condition within the next few months. Platform Houchen, we probably will not have cranes operable in Houchen until the latter part of the year, of this year. And then we have to start platform repairs after that. So we're looking at a very extended long-term process and program here for Hogan and Houchen.
All right, any other questions or comments?
Is it appropriate at this time to discuss the conditions that have been listed by staff?
When you say the conditions, you mean the six that were?
The back of the staff report, there is an interim variance requested with specific conditions to the variance.
We can discuss whatever we want.
Okay. Well, so my first question is so this is at the back of, this is not the conditions that have to be met. These are the eight statements of conditions that are to be, therefore approved by the hearing board. My first question was, what is the difference between condition one and two, other than the date?
If I could jump in, I've reviewed these conditions. We're prepared to accept them. Condition one is a monthly report. Condition two is essentially a closeout report at the end of the variance period.
Okay, that's clear. And I guess one thing that I felt was missing here, and it just may be premature for you to do that, but would be to have a date certain when there was a schedule for the activities intended, something like a Gantt chart that would indicate what the priorities for addressing each of the deficiencies is as you discover what you need to do to complete this task.
Is that for the applicant, that question?
I probably for the more for the staff.
I would agree.
John, is that something that you guys can provide as far as a timeline of completion of events for each of these platforms? It sounds like you guys have a priority list that was provided by ConocoPhillips. Is that something that you guys can provide?
Beacon West can provide a high level, probably a high level Gantt chart or some type of a schedule of events. Yes.
And to clarify, oh, go ahead, Amy.
Go ahead, Caitlin.
I was just going to say we can add whatever the hearing board would like added to the variance. So just let us know.
As long as we would agree to that. I'm sure we would, but we just would, before you devise the language, we'd want to see it to make sure that we're something we'll be able to accomplish. That's all.
Okay.
Chime in?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, just the thought is Gantt charts and whatever steps the applicant would choose to undertake is probably an issue more relevant to staff consideration than to the hearing board, I'm thinking.
Mr. Peters, I think I'm probably along the lines of you. I mean, we're not here to micromanage how things are done.
Yes, sir.
Our concern is the results.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So whenever you're ready, I'll move the F1.
Oh, real quick, any other questions or comments?
I just want to weigh in on Mr. Peters. We appreciate that. We're looking forward to working with the district directly, staff, on any kind of increments of progress. And they may not be appropriate as a variance condition, but we're very much looking forward to working with them regularly and updating them as needed every step of the way.
Good. Thank you. So having listened to discussions and not hearing anything that appears from the board members that they don't see the six findings haven't been met, I'll say the six findings have been made. Do we have any public comment? Think so? Okay. Have any changes been identified in today's discussions that need to be reflected in the variances currently drafted? Okay. So then may I please get a motion?
Repeat. I'll move the issue.
Okay. I have a motion. May I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second. Last chance to bring up any other discussion items. All right, so I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Chair Cox?
Yes.
I could do a roll call vote.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Dr. Colomay?
Yes, somewhat reluctantly.
Mr. Dressler?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
And Chair Cox?
Yes. So from what that I can see is the motion passes. So before we move on to the next item, unfortunately I have another appointment that I have to go to, and rather than leave in the middle of discussions, I would like to go ahead and hand off the remainder of the meeting to our vice chair, Mr. Peters. Thank you very much for everyone, and I look forward to reading the rest of the minutes.
Thank you, Chair Cox.
Very good. Lorena, we still have a quorum?
Yes, quorum is three.
All right, moving on to F2, will the clerk please read that item into the record?
Item F2, case number 2021-05-R. To consider a petition for a regular variance from District Rules 331, 359D2B, 206, Part 70 permit to operate 9108-R4, conditions 9C1BV, 9C1BVI, 9C1CI, 9C2A, 9C2B, 9C2C, 9C2D, 9C6BII, 9C6BIII, 9C6BIV, 9C9, 9C14, and 9C15, submitted on January 8th, 2021 for emission controls, maintenance, monitoring, and source testing requirements. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at Platform Hogan, located on offshore lease track OCS-P-0166, approximately 8 miles southeast from the city of Santa Barbara, California.
Thank you. Witnesses, including district staff and members of the public, for this case shall now be sworn in. After taking the oath, you will be asked to state your name and affiliation to the case. If you will be testifying today, please raise your right hand. Very good. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And I'll call you Amy Long.
This is Amy Long with the district, and I do.
Eric Kett.
Eric Kett with the district, I do.
Mr. Wennell.
Keith Wennell, Beacon West, I do.
And Mr. Garnett.
John Garnett, Beacon West Energy Group, I do.
Ms. McNally.
Caitlin McNally with the district, I do.
All right. Have I left anybody out? Very good. At this time, I'll ask the petitioner from Beacon West Energy Group, LLC, to make their case. During your report, be sure to include a response to all six findings required for approval of a variance, including, and I'll read them, one, whether you or will be in violation of the Health and Safety Code 41701 or any district rules or regulations. Number two, noncompliance due to conditions beyond reasonable control and requiring compliance would result in unreasonable taking of property or closing of business. Number three, closing or taking would be without corresponding benefit in reducing air pollution. Number four, has consideration of curtailing operations in lieu of obtaining a variance been given? Number five, during the period the variance is in effect, excess emissions will be reduced to the maximum extent feasible. And number six, during the period the variance is in effect, excess emissions can be quantified and or monitored. Again, please state your name for the record. Mr. Wennell.
Keith Wennell, Beacon West, chair and board members, regarding the Hogan variance petition. Hogan is in somewhat better condition than Platform Halchin, which I previously described. There exists the same procedural requirements which cannot be accomplished due to equipment and platform non-operational status related to engine monitoring and flare ignition and so forth. On Platform Hogan specifically, there are no wells that are leaking and venting currently that we are aware of. However, the facility infrastructure, cranes, life safety systems, sanitation systems, bottled water, are all in the similar state of disrepair or are inoperable. And medical and emergency response capabilities are similarly limited on Platform Hogan. John, you want to cover the item one of the explicit findings?
Yeah, I'd like to affirm that Platform Hogan is in violation of all the regulations and conditions cited by Ms. Saldana.
Okay, item two, noncompliance due to conditions beyond applicant's reasonable control. I previously provided that description earlier. Platform Hogan and Halchin are, Hogan is permanently shut down pending well and platform abandonment. Item three, taking without corresponding benefit, platforms Hogan and Halchin are permanently shut down pending well and platform abandonment. Item four, curtailing operations. Operations are currently curtailed and Platform Halchin is permanently shut down pending well and platform abandonment. Item five, reducing emissions to the maximum extent feasible. Emissions cannot be controlled currently. Beacon West is confident though, however, that once we have cranes in place on Platform Hogan and other life safety systems in place, we will control and manage the procedural requirements as to the extent possible.
I could provide a quick correction there, Keith. There are no excess emissions on Platform Hogan currently.
John, you want to cover item six?
Yeah, condition six is that we're prepared to report in accordance with the variance condition number one, which does contain a flare stack venting calculations. We accept that condition in case their wellhead leaks do for some reason develop on Hogan, and we're prepared to report any excess emissions that might develop. But it, again, in this case, there aren't any excess emissions, and this is a procedural variance for Hogan.
Okay, very good. Moving on to staff. At this time, I'll ask staff to respond. Again, please state your name for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Peters. This is Amy Long. I have the same comment regarding this request for coverage, that it include only Rule 331 D through I. The petitioner requested coverage of the entire Rule 331, and sections A through C of the rule are not applicable to this variance request.
Okay, very good. All right, are we moving to a discussion, comments from my fellow board members?
I would like to thank the applicants for a very clear presentation. I'm not sure I'd like to be in your position taking over the platforms in the condition that they were found. Clearly the C is harsh, but those conditions should never have been allowed to have gotten to that point. I would encourage in the monthly reports, and then finally in the report for April, that working with staff, that Beacon provide as much information as possible once you've ascertained the conditions of your schedule of activities for complying with the variance.
We're happy to do that. We'll provide fully fleshed out updates.
My fellow board members, any other comments or questions? Seeing none, I have one. You stated, Mr. Wenthal, there are no leaks on Platform Hogan, which surprised me. Why is it in such better condition than the other platform?
Mr. Peters, as I mentioned, the condition of Hogan is somewhat better condition than Houchin. Platform Hogan was operational for a longer period of time than Houchin, and a previous operator did perform a certain level of maintenance and repair, maintained the wells and so forth in a somewhat better operating condition than Houchin. And so it was simply left, if you will, left in better condition than Houchin.
Obviously, huh?
Yes.
Thank you for that. Do I have any other questions, comments from the board? I'll move on then. Because this case is a request for a regular variance, all six findings must be made and stated for the record in order for the variance to be approved. Do any of the hearing board members have any questions about the findings as outlined by the petitioner? Hearing none. We'll move on. The six findings have been made. Do we have any public comment?
Chair Peters, it looks like we do not have any public comment.
All right. Have any changes been identified in today's discussion that need to be reflected in the variance as currently drafted? Ms. Long, is your comments earlier about the scope of this qualify for this remark?
Yes, it would. If it's up to the hearing board, if you would like to implement those changes into the variance order.
Well, I'm surprised. That's really your call, isn't it?
Actually, I think I can take care of that with a motion. I'll move that we have made all six required findings for case F, agenda item F2, and that we grant the variance as amended by district staff in their testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Dressler. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Saperstein, thank you. Lorena, we have a motion and a second. Would you call the roll?
Dr. Colomé?
Yes.
Mr. Dressler?
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
And Chair Peters?
Yes. The motion passes. All right, the next item is the approval of the administrative agenda. Does any hearing board member wish to pull any of these items? Do
Mr.
we
Peters?
Have any public comment?
I'm sorry, Mr. Peters, before we move on, and I hate to throw a monkey wrench on this, did we find, did you make the same findings for agenda number F1? I believe that the district also amended some of the findings. I mean, saying that it wasn't all of Rule 331, correct, Ms. Long?
That's very astute of you, Ms. Novant. I kind of caught that too. Ms. Long?
The variance was not approved for the recommendation. So the Houchin variance will include all of Rule 331, and Hogan will be revised based off of Terry's recommendations or motion to revise the variance order.
Is that something that can be discussed by the hearing board and possibly amended at this time?
Absolutely. We need to recall the case.
So council, can I just give a motion regarding F1?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Then I will move that we amend our approval of the variance for item F1 to include the amendments suggested by the district.
Sounds good. That satisfies you, Ms. Novan?
Yes. Yes, Mr.
All right. Very good. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Saperstein seconds. All right. Ms. Saldana, would you call the roll?
Dr. Colomé?
Yes.
Mr. Dressler?
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
And Chair Peters?
Yes. All right, thank you for that. All right, moving on. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the administrative agenda. Does any hearing board member wish to pull any of these items? Hearing none. Do we have any public comment? I guess I don't know whether I want to pull any of these items, but just make the general comment here. These were interim variances that Mr. Dressler dealt with here, specifically related to these items we're looking at today. Is that correct, Mr. Dressler?
That's correct.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah. Do we have any other questions or comments about the administrative agenda? If not, I'll accept the motion.
I'll move that we accept the administrative agenda.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Saperstein. Lorena, would you call the roll?
Dr. Colomé?
Yes.
Mr. Dressler?
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
And Chair Peters?
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. All right. Moving on to item H, or any final comments before we adjourn? I'll entertain any final comments before we adjourn. If not, thank you. This meeting is now adjourned to April 7th, 2021 at 9:30 a.m. Meeting is subject to cancellation if there are no items to be heard. Thank you for your attendance today. Thank you.
Thank you to the board and staff for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.